AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be with you today. Matt Patrick, Trace Beaulieu is going to join us a little bit later on. We'll talk about the Mads are back. They got a show coming up here tomorrow, a live streaming event that's going to help proceeds help the NAACP. Patrick, I have found a, one of the things I have learned from this whole COVID experience of going out and hiking in parks is that you have to take advantage of getting out no matter the season because the parks change dramatically. Now, I went out to Carver Park Preserve, which is out, it's kind of on the west side of town. It's way out there in Minnetrista, I believe it is. It might be even a little south of that. I have no idea what town is south of that. But it's out there. And you got to go on out there. Now, I went out there. This is the second time. I've actually started having to double up on walks now because I've done so many of them. We did Nokomis for a second time. I did the Heritage Trail last week for the second time. And now I did Carver Park Preserve. And we walked around. Now, when I was out there before, it was just early spring, and we're just starting to see things start to wake up from winter. I mean, there was no snow on the ground or anything like that, and it was nice, but it still was – it was just starting to wake up. I went out there yesterday. Holy God, it's this magnificent field of bee balm and daisies, and it's purple and yellow everywhere you look. It is magnificent. I'll have some photos to share a little bit later on. But truly is, if you get the chance to get on out there, and this is the importance of getting out into these parks and taking advantage of this stuff, because I still am convinced that there's a decent chance at some point we're going to have to lock down the state. And if we have to do that, well, that goes walk. So get out there, enjoy them, and see them if you can. It is quite spectacular. Did you have a nice weekend, Patrick?
I did. It was a very enjoyable weekend. It was actually my birthday on Saturday. So.
Happy birthday to you. You did not let us know. How old are you, young man?
I just turned 30.
30? Dear God, I remember what 30 was like. Do I remember what 30 was like? Maybe I don't know. Well, happy birthday. Did you have a nice birthday?
Yeah, we went to Giordano's in Richfield with my mom and my brother, and then actually went to Hazel's Northeast yesterday for brunch with my aunt and my uncle.
Nothing wrong with that. There you go. Hazel's a top-notch brunch. Happy birthday. Congratulations on getting on out there. I want to get into a story here. Trouble in Grand Marais. Now, when I was up north with my vacation, I had a Black Lives Matter sign in my back of my window of the car. Actually, both cars have one. And I kind of was wondering whether or not I would come up with any flack up in northern Minnesota. Well, apparently, I was not too out of line to expect something. As June rolled in July, Andy DeLisi, the owner of Big Bear Lodge out of Grand Marais, discovered the Black Lives Matter sign at the end of his property had gone missing. He says he was disappointed, if not entirely surprised, that whoever took his signs couldn't have just rolled on by and let the sign alone. If everyone is about freedom of speech, then let it be so. The next time around, DeLisi planned ahead. He put out another sign, this one a handmade sign, painted on plywood, set up a security camera, and on Tuesday evening, the feed captured two people meddling with it in a pale pink car parked nearby. The name emblazoned on the side of the vehicle was Mary Kay. This wasn't some young rapscallions. This was an elderly couple that was messing with the sign. DeLisi has no idea whether they were the same folks who messed with his other signs, but they clearly didn't think much of this one. He says they picked it up and dumped it into a nearby ditch. The next day, he selected a few stills from the feed, called up the Cook County Sheriff's Office. Andrew told me that he's one of the people talked to about going on to other people's property and moving things that are not theirs. A report by Cook County deputy reads, a little research revealed that the pale pink cars are associated with the Mary Kay sales reps. Other than that, the department did not have much to go on. But DeLisi posted the photos on his Facebook page where they blew up and got shared nearly 500 times. By the end of the week, they had actually identified it as a pair of Tom and Linda Bergenson from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, who happened to be staying at the nearby resort. How furious must you be to be in a completely different state visiting and you see a Black Lives Matter sign, and I'm going to take it down. Oh, my God. Wow. According to the report, the deputy found the pale pink car parked in the place in question, confirmed it belonged to Tom and Linda, and the deputy approached them for a quick chat. I told them I had photos of them moving a Black Lives Matter sign. They asked what they were doing. We don't really know for sure what they were doing. Calls to Linda's work went unanswered, and Mary Kay didn't respond to the interview request on whether the company was aware of what happened. A few of those tweets about the incident have been directed at Mary Kay himself, but the report says Linda told the deputy she'd gone to talk to DeLisi, but he hadn't been there at the time, so they moved the sign, a.k.a. vandalism. All right, let's just call it what it is. She told me she wanted to discuss the political subject and wanted to send a message. You know what? I'm sorry. Let me call this. I'm smelling bull. They went to move the sign when they got caught. They're like, we were looking to engage in a serious political debate. And when the person wasn't there, we decided to trash the place. Yeah. She told me she wanted to discuss the political subject and wanted to send a message, the report says. The report reportedly reminded Linda the sign was not her property and therefore she should not leave it alone or risk prosecution. The couple allegedly agreed not to go back. The deputy reported back to DeLisi, and just like that, the case was pretty much closed. Well, almost. Despite Linda repeatedly wanting to send a message, it seemed the pair weren't exactly pleased when their newfound attention. Later that afternoon, the report says Tom called up the deputy and told him that someone from the radio had called asking about the vandalized sign. He didn't want to talk to the radio, he said. He said he was disappointed, if not entirely surprised, that whoever took his signs couldn't have DeLisi said he hasn't heard from Tom or Lindy. He's expecting to. We now with the folks that don't necessarily agree with the sentiment of Black Lives Matter. We get a lot of travelers on the scenic byways, but here it seems most of the folks are pretty solid. So. basically, by the way, the trooper, after he got called by the radio station, and he called the police to report the radio station, and it wasn't me. I didn't call. I told him people are very sensitive to this topic right now, and word spreads fast up here, the deputy wrote. He advised him to call 911 if he had emergency, but in the meantime, if he didn't want to talk to someone, just block the number. Oh, Tom and Linda. Oh, you rapscallions. 952-946-6205. I mean, seriously, how furious do you have to be to get to a point where you are going by someone's place and vandalizing their property? Wow. So much for the tolerant left. I mean, right. Oh, that's not the tolerant right. They're asses sometimes. You know what the other thing I had to deal with this weekend? Plain stupidity. So, if you don't know, Jennifer DeJarnett is she's on the I think she still is on the Three Rivers Park System board. She's a Republican. She's a proud Republican. She likes to troll. She's one of these people that, you know, she finds out what she needs to be outraged by, and then she tries to go out and do it. And actually, I think she does try as well to kind of drive Republican narrative, which certainly seemed to be the case when all of a sudden a tweet came down this weekend, and this is reading from Jennifer DeJarnett's tweet here. Dear Governor Walz and Governor Flanagan, here is why I need to buy for my four kids for back to school. Seriously. It takes time to hunt for random color folders, binders, pens. Literally, we are 30 days now. Moms need to know I'm buying this because it's in person, or am I buying this in person because school's in person or not? So basically, that's the whole thing. She's trying to say, do I need to buy school supplies, or do I not need to because they're going to be doing schools online? And so she's trying to create this outrageous, how dare you? Now, if she goes to a private school, she should know. The private schools can basically – they have to follow some protocols, but I mean they – so she shouldn't need to ask the governor about that. So I'm presuming she's going to a public school system. We're going to find out the public school system here. We're going to find out whether or not Governor Walz is going to open the schools coming up here in a few days. But until that time, it's July 19th. School for most Minnesotans doesn't start until September 8th. It is a full month and a half, and as Jennifer tries to make this out, if you've never had kids and you've never had to do back-to-school shopping, let me be very clear. You can go to a Target, and they've got an entire section in the back dedicated to back-to-school supplies. And they literally work with every school district to make sure they have everything there. But you don't necessarily need to go there, for goodness sakes. Office Depot, Office Max, Walmart, they've got a lot of places have these, you know, massive back-to-school buys and have all the stuff there. And that's, and it's all in one area. They even, many of these places even have the pull list from the school, all the schools in the area. You can just grab the list, go grab the stuff that you need. Is it a pain in the butt? Yeah. But I've never had to search store after store looking for a different colored manila folder. For goodness sakes, they have thousands of them at all these places. And I'm not saying that places like Target and stuff like that don't sometimes run short, but, you know, this isn't nearly the crisis you're trying to make it out to be. For me and my three kids, when I've had to buy stuff for all three of my kids, my son's going off to college now, but say 2-3 years ago, it would take me maybe an hour and 15 minutes to go through one store to get take each kid's list, get everything on the list, put it in the cart, grab the next thing, put it in the cart, grab the next one, put it in the cart, be done. Solved. There you go. So you don't need it's not like you're the days of yore and you got to get the Wells Fargo wagon to drop off your school supplies. So this is just Jennifer trying her hardest to create a conflict, which is immediately followed up by another one. Once again, I posted this yesterday. It's July 19th. It's July, you fool. Also, Governor Walz and Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, when I went to Albertville Outlet to buy back-to-school clothes, lines were over an hour long because stores restrict numbers. So not only are moms short time, higher prices, but the options are restrictions, and back-to-school experiences is stressful for moms and kids. This is what this is. The Republicans are realizing they're about to get their cabooses handed to them in the suburbs. And they are. I mean, I think most people in the suburbs have had it with the Republican Party. They're not delivering. They're still the bastions of homophobia and bigotry and hate. I'll get to that in a little bit. They are. That's where you'll find most of the bigots and the racists and the homophobes are in the Republican Party. And they haven't done enough for the local community outside of, say, white people need to be angrier. And so this is their new narrative, it seems, because this is not just Jen that's doing this. There's a lot of people that are doing this. They're trying to create this false little outrage of, you're against suburban moms. And I should say that, you know, I almost said suburban white moms, because let's be honest about it. But you guys are against suburban moms. We're just here in April trying to get next year's back to school stuff. And you're making it difficult. It's July 19th, you moron. Come on. What's wrong with you? But lo and behold, here we are with another dog and pony show from the Republican Party. I'm going to read from the state of Minnesota here. Therefore, be it resolved that the governor should not exercise the emergency powers of Minnesota statutes, section 1221, subdivision 3, clause 11, to alter school schedules, curtail school activities, or order schools closed, and prevent the reopening of schools for the 2020-2021 school year and the typical presence of students in the school buildings. So basically, they're saying they've passed a resolution in the Senate saying you have to open schools. And it should be mentioned that that this is on top of the fact that there was only a few days ago that that Paul Gazelka put out a tweet. Looks like folks are getting serious about making sure Governor Walz does not close down schools this fall. And he's got a picture of someone with a sky banner. I mean, you're getting serious. That's what you think getting serious is? Someone went and bought a sky banner. But by the way, don't look at the Minnesota GOP finances at all. Don't do that. But hey, I wonder where this grassroots outrage is coming from. He says it's a serious virus, but not enough to close schools. No one under 20 has died of COVID. And let me Minnesota Sport reported its first COVID-19 death of a child amid a continued rise in cases of the infectious disease among children and young adults. No details were released about the death. 1 in 4 reported Monday of Minnesota Department of Health, other than it involves someone in the 0 to 5 age range from Clay County. One of the 1,545 COVID-19 deaths so far in the pandemic in Minnesota. 2 have involved people in the 20 to 29 range, but none until now has involved anyone 19 or younger. So we now officially have our first child dying from COVID-19. The Republicans, this was their standard. This is, you got to open schools because no kid has died. And yet, even though they had that information that a child has died, that they basically have not, that didn't stop them from trying to pass this bill, ordering the governor to keep schools open. Now, it's not going to, there's no chance in the world it's going to pass in the House. But the reality is that it's, what are you guys going to do? Seriously, you're going to give what, one thermometer to each school? Some of these schools have 400 kids in them. You see, this is the kind of stuff that I just get so damn tired of with the Republican Party. It's this, open schools, open schools, open schools. So the decision is made to open schools. And then the first ones to say, oh, well, just because we said the schools would open, you shouldn't necessarily send your kid to school. I mean, who gave you the idea that schools were perfectly fine to go back to? That wasn't us. We just demanded that every school be open and kids be allowed to be dropped off. I mean, you have no way of guaranteeing that a sick child is not going to be dropped off at that school. You have no way of guaranteeing. You don't. You don't have the money. You don't have the resources. You don't have the personnel to stand at every entrance and scan every forehead for a temperature. You don't have that. Not unless you want to have school start at 11 o'clock in the morning and have to be let out at 2. You guys, it's a bad idea when the state, and by the way, I should mention here that we had, was it 900 new cases today? And a very large jump in cases, new cases. I'll get that number for you. I'll tell you what, let's take a break. When we come on back, I'll give you the rest of the Minnesota update. And just I'll talk a little bit more about what's going on over at the state capitol, because there's just a lot of just insanely stupid things going on from the Republican Party right now. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Even though these are challenging times, All Energy Solar is still committed to providing you a cost-effective, environmentally friendly energy system through their zero-contact protocol. Solar remains a great value and long-term investment, but some of the incentive programs will be expiring soon. All Energy Solar can walk you through the entire process. They can evaluate your property by phone or webinar, and can even complete preliminary design work without visiting your home. So start saving on your energy bill today and visit allenergysolar.com.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed. Also, the Army National Guard's education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Is your remote workforce putting your company at risk? Cyber criminals are targeting your employees with COVID-19-inspired emails and attacking businesses like yours. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. Rimark has the tools and expertise to enable your employees to work securely from home. If you need help getting your staff to work remotely and securely, call 651-328-8900 or go to RimarkIT.com. That's 651-328-8900 or RimarkIT.com. Progressive.com.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? You really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
We're breaking out this time.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Indeed, 922 new cases of coronavirus in the state of Minnesota this last day, just today. 922, 47,107 is our total number. 922. I want to repeat that, 922. That's the highest single-day total reported in Minnesota since the start of the pandemic. And today, Republicans demanded the schools get let open. We need all the kids back in there. When did you guys become a death cult? Seriously, when did you guys become a death cult? It's one thing to say, you know, let's see how dangerous this is going to be back in March. But here we are, and we have, you know, over 1,000 dead in Minnesota, over 1,500 dead in Minnesota. From all age brackets, you have 47,000 cases in Minnesota. And your argument, and by the way, don't fool yourself. The reason that number is up 922 is because people are out in doing stuff in the summer. They're going to crowded beaches, and they're going to restaurants and bars. And there's just a story that basically they wrote up a few restaurants that are not following the coronavirus rules. Well, that's why. People are getting sick. And yes, people are going to die. Teachers will die. Administrators will die. Students will die. And you just looking and saying, I don't care. We think we can get some political points by forcing this open. The only way you win this is if all of a sudden coronavirus magically disappears. And it's not. We all know it's not. Are you this desperate for an issue that you have, you know, Republican talking heads basically demanding I got to do back to school shopping on July 19th and you know, pushing a mandate to keep the schools open? For goodness sakes, no. And you guys, I guarantee you, you're never going to spend the money you need to really make these schools safe. Oh, I mean, if it was a gun tour outside of every school because you wanted to make sure Second Amendment rights were protected, but we need to make sure we keep those Second Amendment rights at the elementary schools. Oh, I'm sure you'd probably try to find some money for that, but God forbid you find some money for every school to have two or three medical professionals on staff before you force all the kids back into the school district, for God's sakes. That wasn't the only – and by the way, I should mention one other quick Minnesota update. St. Cloud officials are considering Monday night whether to join the growing number of Minnesota cities mandating the use of masks to prevent the spread of COVID-19. St. Cloud, not exactly Liberalville, okay? It's a busy day in the state capitol. This is the reason why I don't have a Democrat of the day, because I could already tell what was going to be coming down the line. Not only do you have the dog and pony show on the schools – going on. You have a bonding bill that they're trying to get passed. You got, as well, police reform bill. And the Republican leader of the Minnesota Senate has said he struck a tentative agreement with Democrats who control the House in a series of police accountability proposals. The package of changes of policing in the state became a top priority after the Memorial Day killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Lawmakers they basically hit an impasse on package of changes on policing in the state during the special session in June, but sounds like they might have gotten over that at this point. It does actually sound like some good things. The agreement includes a ban on the use of chokeholds, ban on warrior-style training for officers, which is a good idea, as well as changes in police arbitration and the creation of a new advisory council within the state officer licensing and standards board. So there are some good things here. If there's ever a sign that, you know, a police accountability has become – the mindset in America has changed, the fact is the Republicans are agreeing to this because they know if they don't pass anything on police reform that they're going to get wiped out in the suburbs. So this is a sign for me, at least, that the Republican Party realizes that they are in big trouble when it comes to holding the suburbs, and if they can't figure out some way to get out there and you know, give them something to campaign on, then they're going to be in trouble. So that's, you know, it doesn't go nearly as far as enough, but it's a step in the right direction. Another bill that was out there, this is the special session bill, H.R. number 1, about declaring racism a public health crisis. Now, racism is a public health crisis. It's undeniably a public health crisis. It's been interesting to hear some of the arguments. Eric Lucero, the Republican, apparently he tried to do that, the standard Republican thing, going, if you look at history, the Democrats are the real racists. Well, funny story, Eric. You seem to have left out the fact that the racists all left the Democratic Party when the Democratic Party became the party of civil rights. And they were welcomed with open arms into the Republican Party, the Southern Strategy, Nixon, 1960. I know. Read a history book, you idiot. Anyway, that's what happened. They're all there. And they were welcomed with open arms. All the racists were welcomed into the Republican Party. And even though the resolution passed, which I believe passed 82-40, there's a lot of Republicans who voted against declaring racism a public health crisis. Funny story. Yeah. Those votes, Republicans. I know. Hard to believe. I don't know if the bonding bill is going to get done. I don't know if it is or not. It sounds like, from reading about some of the news accounts of what's going on, they're trying to merge this with a tax bill. And there seems to be a lot of questions if they can legally do that. I don't think they can. I think the bonding bill has to be the bonding bill. You can't put a tax break in the bonding bill. So we'll have to see. I think there's pressure going on to get this done. But I will say this. It's a shame, once again, and I don't care which party it is, there's not more visibility on this. Now, the reason why there isn't more visibility on this is that Paul Gazelka, the Senate Majority Leader, has put a arbitrary end time to this session in place for tonight. And so they have to try to get things done tonight. So there's a lot of scrambling. But still, we should be doing this much more out in public. And I'm very much against the idea of the amount of stuff that gets done behind closed doors when it comes to this bill writing. I don't care which party it is. They have to do that more out and open. And so it's a shame. But God forbid we actually have politicians that are willing to work with each other outside of, you know, creating dog and pony shows like Paul Gazelka and the rest of the Republican Party. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Trace Beaulieu is going to join us when we do return and talk about the Mads Are Back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Laura. These are indeed confusing times. So much of our life, education, business, meetings have moved online, yet not everyone has internet access. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is here for everyone. Radio reaches people without internet. In fact, radio reaches more Americans than any other platform. 92% of U.S. adults listen to radio every week. Radio connects. If you know some organization, maybe a religious or civic group, seeking to engage and knows that a Zoom call costs money and does not reach everyone, consider a taped or live broadcast on AM 950. Perhaps a virtual, not-so-silent auction, recovery support, spiritual support, business networking, poetry slam. If you want to learn more about creating a live or taped message on AM 950, call 952-946-8885 or email Laura at am950radio.com. AM 950, the progressive voice in Minnesota, here for everyone.
Not only does Rudy Luther Toyota have a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota certified used vehicle dealers in the country. They have better prices than many non-certified dealers, and all their vehicles go through a comprehensive inspection and reconditioning process. And Rudy Luther pays you top dollar for your trade-in, even if you don't buy a vehicle from them. Whether looking for an upgrade or looking to get rid of a car you no longer need, you'll get a great return with Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Did you know there's deconstruction funding available now for homeowners and contractors in Hennepin County? If you are embarking on a remodel or teardown this year, consider hiring Better Futures Minnesota's deconstruction crews instead of demolition. By taking a house or building apart by hand instead of destroying it with heavy equipment, the materials can be reused or recycled instead of going into the landfill. It is much more cost-effective and is a carbon-neutral solution. Go to betterfuturesminnesota.com and look under Business Services to learn more.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. EatLocalMinnesota.com, restaurant of the week. Cafe Latte, they're reopened to 50% capacity over there. Check out the pizza and wine bar. Plus, you can do online ordering and takeout along with gift cards, too. Located at Victorian Grand, online, CafeLatte.com. It's the EatLocalMinnesota.com, restaurant of the week. Cafe Latte. Trace Beaulieu is kind enough to join us. Of course, the Mads are back. They are doing a live stream event coming up tomorrow night, and he's kind enough to join us to talk about watching and ripping on Glenn or Glenda with Frank Conniff. Hey, Trace, how are you, my friend?
I'm great. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well. I mean, we talked to you not that long ago, so I want to just get a check-in, first of all, on you and coronavirus world. How are things going? have you gone out more, or are you still kind of hunkering towards the house over on the east side?
Stay in mostly. You'll find me at your Menards, your Lowe's, your Ace Hardware. I did the most intensive visit today. I went to the dentist.
Did you?
And, you know, everything's, you know, handled professionally, and you wash your hands and all that stuff. And so that was my big event. That was the dentist. And
so
now I have nothing to look forward to.
Except for
tomorrow night.
Well, you didn't wake. It's not like you woke up and you're like, where are my pants? You know, it wasn't one of those dentists, was it?
Oh, no. This was just cleaning.
Okay.
Just making sure all my teeth are there.
Well, I'm grinding my teeth. I don't know about you, but I'm grinding my teeth right now.
Oh, dude, at night, yeah. Well, you know, this is the age of grinding your teeth. You know, I'm surprised anyone has any teeth left.
That's not a lie. I'm not gonna disagree with you in any point there. Glenn or Glenda? We talked with Frank. Frank loves Glenn or Glenda. We talked to him last week. What does Glenn or Glenda, the classic film that you guys are riffing? This is one you guys have riffed quite a few times. And I should mention, this is going to be Tuesday. It's going to be at 7 o'clock local time. It's done through Eventbrite. We'll put the links up a little bit later on. Part of the proceeds go to the NAACP. Why Glenn or Glenda when you decided you're going to do your first live stream here?
Well, this was one of the first movies that we chose to do when Frank and I were on the road about 5 years ago, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We started doing this, and we had a gig in Denver, and we thought, well, let's do something topical. Let's do one of the, like, Reefer Madness or something like that, because it's certainly nail on head because everyone in Denver is smoking weed. and then we looked at that one. It was kind of – it's made in the 30s. It's kind of dark and dank and not the dark and dank we like. So I said, well, what about Glenn or Glenda? We've done Plan 9 from Outer Space. Edward's other epic, and we thought, well, let's take a look at Glenn or Glenda. We hadn't seen it in about 30 years, and we really liked it, and the audiences respond to it, and it's, you know, I'm sure Frank covered the reasons why we like it, you
mm-hmm.
know. But, yeah, it's also maybe the most important reason is it's public domain. And we have like no budget for this, so all of those add into the bad math equation that gives us Glenn or Glenda.
Well, and it's interesting to bring this up because I watched a comedy bit this weekend. It was like 15 years ago. And the comedian was making jokes, which I said, I don't think they'd be able to get away with that today. And there's something about it, because Frank did mention Glenn or Glenda was so ahead of its time. It's an Ed Wood film. It's not a good film as far as quality of film. But, I mean, the topic, the discussion of sexual identity, he was so far ahead of any kind of mainstream discussion about this that it really is kind of impressive in this day and age where even in 10, 15 years, stuff doesn't age very well. For him to have actually touched on this topic years ago is pretty remarkable.
Well, and it's such a personal story. You know, he himself, he plays himself in the film, basically. But, yeah, it's such a personal story, and it's told with such heart that I think that's why the film has – survived. And you can kind of, like, look beyond all the stuff that he had to stick into this movie to make it a quote-unquote exploitation film. There's stock footage from war movies. There's buffalo running around. There's some really bad medical advice. Somehow he stitches it all together. He takes this assemblage of junk and creates slightly more cohesive junk. But junk with heart.
How do you – off this, and we'll talk about more about this again in just a second here. But I wanted to ask you your thoughts in this day and age when you talk about live streaming. And you guys are doing this now on the live stream. How do – I mean – there is a big problem. There's a lot of venues, music venues especially, concert venues, stand-up comedy venues, movie theaters, that the question is, the longer this goes on, whether or not they will reopen. Do you think we are seeing that fundamental shift? You and I have kind of alluded to this in the past, but is that really happening now? Do we feel as if even when things do get better, we hopefully get a vaccine before too long, that the change has happened and people are going to say, you know what, I'd rather do this from the comfort of my own home?
You know, I think there will always be a live venue somewhere for whatever people have the passion for. If it's stand-up comedy, someone's going to create a club. You know, the ones that exist now may not be back. You know, it's like restaurants. You know, it's the same thing. You know, something will fill that void, and it will be different. But I think maybe a benefit of this is doing it from home. We wouldn't probably be traveling even if there wasn't a big pandemic, even if it was a little pandemic. I mean, we're both old, for one. So, and Frank's, you know, got the heart. So, you know, I'm kind of enjoying that aspect of isolation. but I'm a hermit. You know, I see maybe one less person a week.
So you're getting it down. You're honing it down to get in that, you know, core two or three people, and I'm good.
Yeah, I don't even like looking in the mirror. That's too many people. You know, I feel claustrophobic in a hat.
As a man who has traveled this country and back and forth, and you've been in, you know, small venues, big venues. That's my biggest fear, is that the chains are going to survive, but it's these great standalone independent concert halls, movie theaters, stages. That, I think is my biggest concern, is will we only have chain entertainment outlets when this is all over?
Oh, boy. You know, there are good chains. The Alamo Draft House has been very good.
Oh, no, yeah, they are very good.
But, yeah, I think it's sad because, you know, a lot of these theaters, you know, they're not funded with millions and millions and millions of dollars. It's like you say, it's the independent people that offer something very special, you know, in that world. Like the independent film theaters that we've played across the country, you know, if that went away, that would be a tragedy. Mm-hmm. I don't think they will. I think, you know, some people may drop out, but other people will take their place. And I'm optimistic about that.
When I was up north, I was in Virginia, and I was on the main strip there on Chestnut Street in Virginia. There's the Mako Theater, and I'll never forget seeing The Empire Strikes Back in that place. And not only because it was The Empire Strikes Back, but this was one of these old style, you know, kind of they had totem poles up the side as you went down. They were, you know, carved totem poles in the walls, and the entire roof, the ceiling was decorated out. And it was truly a throwback kind of theater at that point, and, you know, a bit racially insensitive in 1981. But still, it was kind of one of those things where the going in there, it was such an experience. And, you know, you've probably seen just some brilliant theaters that are just standalone old classic theaters that are still going in this country.
Oh, absolutely. The whole Midwest, you know, almost every city, Kansas City and Omaha, and everybody had a great, like an Orpheum, you know, quality theater. And they were starting to restore. Some got fully restored. We've seen some partially in the works of, you know, trying to get money to bring them back. And they're absolutely stunning buildings. It would be sad if those we lost those. You know, we lose so much good architecture anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But those buildings are magic. I don't like seeing theaters go away. There's ghosts in them, and you know, there's a patina of age, and you know, it's like. I was looking at the Cooper Theater. Remember?
Oh,
were
yeah.
You here for the Cooper Theater?
Oh yeah, I saw. Yeah. Dragnet was the Tom Hanks, Dan Aykroyd version of Dragnet was the last movie I saw at the Cooper.
Oh man, I saw Lawrence of Arabia. I think
they
got it in 70mm.
Wow.
But they have to survive. Someone has to keep those going because that's part of our history.
Oh, you could go through. I mean, the South Town. Remember the old South Town Theater? That was a pretty good one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Used to ride my bike out there.
Yeah, the South Town and the Boulevard. And you're right. And I think that's you bring up the other element of it, the architectural element. You know, I live in Hopkins, and there's the old Opera House there. I mean, as you said, I mean, at one point there were these kind of – that was something that got built with the school and with the government center. We need to build a center for the arts so that we can bring arts on in. And these movie theaters, especially the ones that were built in the 1920s and 30s, as we lose more of them and they kind of get torn down or they get, you know, repurposed in some capacity, the loss on not just the entertainment element of it, but also on the architectural is truly great. I mean, it's nice when you go up to a town like Ely and you can see someone's bought the old theater and they've revitalized it.
Yes, yes. There's so many great little small towns in Minnesota that have some great venues. Red Wing has a great theater. It'll be preserved. I hope it will. Mm. I'm optimistic.
I will say this. Do you feel like, I mean, you got your first live stream tomorrow. This goes well. Have you already discussed possibly doing more live streams down the line?
We're going to tease, I think, the next one. Barring any like major disaster, for next month.
Okay.
So we'll see how the response is. So far ticket sales have been great. See a lot of familiar, names, on the attendee lists, which is great to see. We have such great fan base. Everyone who's involved in Mystery Science, you know, Riff Trax and Joel's thing and our thing and, the fans have been so kind to us over the years that if this is us giving back even in the slightest, even though you have to pay $10, that's all we can do is charge you. That's our appreciation over the years.
Well, and should mention that part of the proceeds actually go help the NAACP.
Yes, actually, we're trying to do some good stuff too. Even though we're goofing around, I think it's important to give, you know, to whichever foundation you find worthy, and especially now because everyone's struggling.
Oh,
I mean, it's an amazing time. We're living in amazing times.
Oh my God! Well, no, I'm going to say it. I'll be blunt. We're living in depressing times. That's why what you guys are doing is so needed right now. The ability for a Tuesday night to be able to turn off the news, turn off all this stuff, turn you guys on. How long is Glenn and Glenn? Is that 90 or is it about 2 hours?
Well, the one we've been doing, the version we've been doing on the road is about 70 minutes, something like that. But
okay.
We've been rehearsing this version. This is actually the 25th anniversary edition.
Okay.
Which, what does that make it, like 78 or something like that? So there's extra, this is like restoring, this is like Apocalypse Now Redux with the French plantation sequence put back in. So you'll see some things, if you're familiar with this film from us doing it on the road, there's some new highlights in here.
Yes.
I don't say it's helped the film. But you're getting more for your money.
Let's clarify this. This is not good. Oh, thank God. By the way, thank God Apocalypse Now, that movie, that's all it needed was more length. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's a great film. It's a great film, but still, my gosh, pack a lunch.
Yeah, I love that movie. But it's like, you know, what are you trying to simulate? How they made the war longer?
It's shot in real time.
Yeah.
If you do this, I got to tell you, considering the debates going on in this state right now, if you do your next live stream, you guys got to do one of the great shorts on school, because I can just, I think you're going to have a feast of jokes ready to go there with, here comes Betsy DeVos, off we go.
Oh, you know, we have one in our repertoire it was actually made in Texas. A group of school children are being taught how to listen. And so the teacher turns the classroom into plush ears, and she turns into a big mouth. And that's how they explain how to listen.
Dear Lord. All right. Well, I'll look forward to that on the upcoming live streams. I've got a few people asking some technical questions. I'm going to tell you what. Go to Eventbrite.com, Eventbrite, Brite.com. Look for the Mads Are Back, the live movie riffing of Glenn or Glenda. It's tomorrow. They'll have all the information there. It's $10. Proceeds help at the NAACP. Trace and Frank going to be there tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. And like I said, any technical questions, they should be able to answer for you over at Eventbrite. Trace, thank you much. All my best on this. I hope you guys are live streaming once a week, because I think in this day and age, we're going to need it.
Oh, thank you so much, Matt. And thank you again for helping us get the word out. You've been a big booster, and we appreciate it very much.
My pleasure. No, it's truly, you guys are brilliant, and anything I can do to help you guys out, by all means. Trace Beaulieu, once again, Trace, Frank Conniff, they're going to be, the Mads Are Back tomorrow night, Glenn or Glenda. I'll link everything a little bit later on. We'll spotlight this interview as well. Thanks, Trace. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell.
Freddie, this generation of the baby boomers, people are living longer, so the baby boomers are taking care of elderly parents.
Let's talk about your health, and specifically, let's talk about Medicare. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment.
Join us for New Beginnings, Saturday mornings at 11, brought to you in part by Vision Loss Resources.
Hi, this is Laura. Thank you for listening to AM 950. People have been calling us and letting us know how important we are. We are here for you. You are here for us. As we look to the future, let's build a stronger local business economy. Do you know of a business that could benefit from connecting with the AM 950 audience? Is there a product or service that you wish you could buy from an AM 950 advertiser? Let us know. So call us with your ideas and suggestions. Our number is 952-946-8885. Also, we are an affordable form of mass media. We offer a safe public place. So if you know of any group that might be interested in communicating via AM 950, also let us know. Annual meetings, community outreach, public auctions, podcasts, spiritual well-being program, recovery. AM 950 is able to air live or taped messages. AM 950 also reaches people without internet. And remember, more people listen to radio than any other medium, about 92% of adults. So Radio Connects. If you want to know more, give us a call, 952-946-8885, or go to Laura at am950radio.com.
The heat wave means it's time to save at Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. During July, get instant savings of $700 on air conditioners, including ductless systems. Be sure to ask about 0% financing with payments as low as $50 per month. Visit standardheating.com.
Help Victor's 1959 Cafe, your favorite Cuban restaurant, stay open. Victor's is closed temporarily, but they are accepting gift card purchases at victors1959cafe.com. So head on over to purchase a gift card, and once we're through this, enjoy some delicious Cuban cuisine.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Thank you very much to Karen in St. Paul, Douglas in St. Paul, Mary in Minneapolis, David in Duluth, Marlon Farmington, John in Andover, Ramona in Minnetonka, Connie in Minneapolis, as well as also Ruth in Maple Grove. You guys are members to AM 950. We do appreciate you guys having your memberships. We really do. Thank you very much. If you'd like to become a member of AM 950, help keep progressive radio on the air through the 2020 election cycle, head on over to am950radio.com and click on the membership sponsorship link there, and you can make a one-time donation or a regular monthly donation. We appreciate it regardless. But needless to say, we need your help as we're looking to keep on the air here through the 2020 election cycle. Once again, that's am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com for more information. this is not me being doom and gloom. This is me being intelligent. You're not going to be able to open the schools. You're not. And you even if we didn't just have our first child die of coronavirus in the state of Minnesota, you still have an insane risk of parents getting sick. And I'll tell you what's going to do more damage to our economy? A child having to be educated from home, or a parent basically being out of the office for 2 months because of coronavirus? And by the way, one of the things we should mention is that they are starting to realize there are long-term effects of coronavirus. They are noticing people are having long-term effects of other health problems after the fact. Teachers, administrators, like I said, I understand people, I'm inconvenienced by my child being home. I get that. I understand it. And trust me when I say, and I've been very clear here, kids in second grade and younger, I get it. That's hard to educate them. If you're not a teacher, that's hard to basically get those kids to where they're getting the education they need. But I would rather do remedial work with my kids at home. And I've got teenagers. Ugh. You know, I'd rather do the remedial work with my kids at home than have my kids potentially get sick. And like I said, I don't want my kid to be the one kid that goes against the grain, that basically ends up getting sick or ends up being in a hospital for weeks and weeks and weeks on a ventilator. Because I can tell you one thing they're not going to be doing if that's the case, getting an education, regardless of whether they're doing it on home and online or in person. Just, this is the stupidest damn debate we've ever had. But hey, Paul Gazelka and the Republicans, bravo. They look at a public health crisis and they say, you know what? It's not nearly bad enough. Wow. Let's get out Robert Tepper. This is a good one. No easy way out. This is, there you go. This is like a song from every 80s action movie. I think it was actually Rocky, one of the Rocky movies that had this one originally. This takes us out today. Have a good one. We're back tomorrow. Until then, see ya. I don't wanna be